Did you go down for Mardi Gras?
No, I almost Bacchus in Uptown. Will Ferrell was throwing like cowbells. He was Bacchus this year. They always get a big celebrity to.
I'm standing here and staring at rock legend Bruce Dickinson. A cock and a walk, baby. And if Bruce Dickinson wants more cowbell, we should probably give him more cowbell.
Say, babe.
And Bobby, you are right. I am being selfish. But the last time I checked, we don't have a whole lot of songs that feature the cowbell.
I gotta have more cowbell, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I proudly present to you, for your listening pleasure, We Heart Music Radio. Brought to you by the good people at WeHeartMusic.com.
Hi, this is Bo with We Heart Music Radio and
Brody from New Orleans, retired blogger, but doing coverage for We Heart Music.
Oh no, you're still on there. You're still on my my writer's list.
Nice. I'm not retired then.
Woo. So, okay, before we talk about South by Southwest 2012, I just want to quickly mention that you can grab this show on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, just do a search for We Heart Music in the podcast area, you'll see us. So I'm very excited about that, actually.
Nicely done. Congratulations.
Yeah, we've been getting a couple of new subscribers and stuff, so I'm very excited about that because it actually exposed us to a wider audience because I don't know if you know about iTunes and Apple, but they have to approve everything that goes into their store.
If you're ready for this,
say you're ready for this.
If you're ready for this,
say you're ready for this.
Are you ready for this? We're ready.
And the other thing I want to talk about is I just went to see Jane's Addiction at The Brick, which is a brand new Minneapolis venue.
Yeah.
The backstory about The Brick is that we don't really get a lot of new venues. If you go to enough concerts as I do, you go to basically the same old shows at the same old place, you know, 7th Street, 1st Avenue, Varsity Theater, Cedar Cultural, 400 Bar, Triple Rock maybe. I mean, it's pretty much the same set of venues. So when a new venues open up, you get pretty excited about it. Yeah, so The Brick is owned by a big corporate entity called AGE, and they have signed on some amazing shows lined up, like, you know, Incubus, and I don't know who else is playing, but big name bands,
right.
You know. So their grand opening night, which happened on Monday, so I got a chance to see it, and it apparently wasn't a very good venue at all. I mean,
even Kyle was bashing it, I saw in the comments.
So yeah, so just to give you an idea, the hype was maybe more than what they can handle. When I read about the capacity of the Brick, I thought I read at least 3,000 people can fit in there,
right?
Which meant that it was above First Avenue, but slightly below Roy's Wilkins Theater, which
sure.
I don't think Roy Wilkins is actually a great venue anyway.
Right.
So they're kind of like the mid-size venue, and so I was very excited. I got there around 8:20, and the line went all like two blocks around the area. And and then I got in line and I was like, isn't the show supposed to be at 8:30? Because they said set time was at 8:30. Doors open at 7.
Right.
But no one was moving. And when I got there, no one was moving at all. And the guy in line was telling me they've been waiting in line since like 7:30.
Jeez.
So we started moving. And once I got to the front, I realized what's taking so long is because they checked out everybody. They pat down people twice. They, you know, checked everything, like your bags, if your wallet. You know, they'll look at everything, and they're really thorough. Then once you get in, you can only go through the door through a very narrow stairs that goes It was just wasn't a really great way of going in and out really quick. It's just you have to go through these, obstacles.
Right.
Anyway, once I got in, it was really crowded. It was sold out. I don't know if I mentioned that the Jane's Addiction is a huge band from the 90s, and
sure.
Easily sold out the place.
Nice.
I actually couldn't find a really good spot. I did eventually settle on near the front, but not, I can only watch the band or the dancers, because they have this curtain that covered the in-between stuff, and so I couldn't see both of them at the same time. Anyway, it wasn't a really great viewing experience, but I didn't have such a horrible experience. But apparently, if you go online, the backlash is amazing. Like, people really hated the venue.
I've been to the Myth, so I can relate to the bashing.
It's double the size of First Avenue, but it really sucks.
And anyway, just to give you an idea, during the show, frontman Perry Farrell stopped the show and was like, "Hey, guys, just let people enjoy the show," because apparently there were some girls on the upper level was trying to watch the show, but they couldn't because of this curtain. And so they were moving the curtain out to watch the show. And then the security guys were like, "Hey, you can't do that." And then Perry was like, "Dude, f*** it. Just open that stuff up and just let people watch the show." And he cursed so much. Like, every word was like an F word. Because people paid like $60 to see them. And they couldn't see them.
Just do it. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to him. Don't worry about it. Who won't let you? Nobody won't let you. Doesn't matter. Don't listen to him. Just hold it open. Hey, hey! Hey, mister with the flashlight. Hold the thing open. Take the fucking down. Be careful. You have a fucking riot on your hands.
So, Brody, we're here to talk about South by Southwest 2012. You just went.
So, boy. Woo! Living the dream.
Tell me how it all went down.
Yeah, insane. I met Carson Daly. John Norris was at my buddy's day parties at Flat Top Pizzeria. Miss Kasabian and this old lady was rubbing it in at the Keen and Kaiser Chief show. She was like, "Yeah, there's like 40 people there. Everyone left after, fun and all those trash radio bands." And I was like, "Stop it, I'm gonna kill you."
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I miss Kasabian. Like, Kasabian was playing during Mike Snow, like, set at Stubbs at like 12:30, and I heard a little bit of it as I walked past the venue. I couldn't get in. But I should have saw him at 1100 Warehouse. I don't know what I was thinking. I stayed for Colts, and I was with a good looking girl, so it wasn't like a horrible alternative. But it was definitely my biggest band that I missed by far. Them and Alabama Shakes were the two big bands I really wanted to see.
So just to get, just backing up a little, you actually made a schedule.
Oh yeah.
And apparently you didn't stick to your schedule at all.
sort of. I definitely broke it. I went to the first day, just to give you a quick recap, saw Sydney Wazer, Chairlift was amazing, didn't have high expectations. Blood Orange was insane. And then I saw Tennis, and I don't even know who I saw Wednesday night. I have to look back and see who I saw Wednesday night, because that was that was Wednesday night. And then I saw Hacienda, Tennis, Lee Mayfield, Alberta Cross, and Colts Thursday. I stuck to my schedule. I saw Kaiser Chiefs, Band of Skulls, Keen, Tennis, Fan Farlow, Youth Lagoon, Kiwanuka, Fan Farlow, Free Energy, Keen, and Tennis again. I got free passes to go to a Rolling Stones party on Friday that I did. And then the last day I saw was at my buddy's party all day at the Flat Top. They had Jonquil, Chad Valley, the Staves, who are like three sisters. They're on Mumford's label, Communion Records. They're really good. Django Django was probably the best performance. The whole festival from England, they're incredible. They're like a trippy kind of orb type band. The Twilight Sad, who I see pretty much every year. We were promised Jetpacks, and Star Slinger was the last band I see. The last two South Bys I've been to have been, the last artist I saw was a UK DJ to end the festival. So that's becoming a tradition for some reason.
On Thursday, how early did you have to show up for the Keen /
Kaiser Chiefs? Yeah, I was there at probably 11. It didn't get packed until probably Band of Skulls at 3. That's when it got pretty insane. Because huge expectations for them. They've been getting so much press, and rightly so. They sound great on record. I'm just not too crazy about them live. But Kaiser Chiefs was definitely the most entertaining concert. You got to post another video of that. He slid down the stairwell. He was getting the crowd to throw their hands up in the air, like doing the wave, and then he jumped on some guy's shoulders and got carried through the crowd and carried back. I thought this big old guy that was carrying Ricky Wilson on his shoulders was gonna collapse because he was like shaking and singing along at the same time. It was pretty funny.
AM, right, that you were there? I'm just trying to
clarify. 11 a.m. It was like free. They had like free little ham and cheese omelets and stuff.
Sweet.
Tin foil that you could just grab. Solid. They have free t-shirts too. You've been there before. It's the Cedar Street Courtyard. It's probably the most beautiful venue outdoors at South By.
So so you were right in front. I mean, I saw the pictures.
I'm only in front though. I can't see a concert not up close. I don't care if my ears bleed.
I had another guy down at South by Southwest, and he was at the same show, but he didn't even see anything because he was by that time. I think a lot of people had shown up.
It's still a good view where he was from though, Bo, because you're a lot higher than the stage, and you can see over everyone. Where he was, I think. Yeah. The view's actually pretty good from back there, on the street.
Yeah, unlike the Brick, right?
Unlike the Brick.
So the thing about Saturday show is what I find out is that the most amount of people showing up at South by Southwest doesn't show up on the Wednesday or the Thursday or the Friday show.
It's always Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday's the worst.
That's when all the locals come in because they're not working, and it's crazy. It's like Bourbon Street everywhere.
So I like your idea of actually seeing South by Southwest on a Saturday at a pretty mellow place.
Yeah.
So that was a good call on your part because you didn't have to fight with anybody.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I could have seen Keen again at Stubbs with Kiwanuka, and there were some other good ones. I could have gone to Latitude 30, the British Embassy, to see British bands. That was low key too, and only $5. So there was two options. There was definitely a couple toss-ups each night, but Jetpacks and Twilight Sad and Star Slinger, I mean, that was a great way to end the festival. I'm not huge into DJs, but Star Slinger is, I mean, he's in my opinion, he could be as big as Tiesto and, all those big DJs. He's like this big guy that looks like Chewbacca. He definitely gets the crowd dancing up.
Star Slinger, we trippy, man.
Thank you.
any huge major regrets that you totally banned that you totally missed?
Yeah, I mean, Kasabian and Alabama Shakes were by far the two. Andrew Bird was at Stubbs with Fiona Apple one night. That would have been pretty cool. Ben Howard, the Envy Corps. I did see a couple songs, so I technically didn't miss them, and I've seen them a few times. Mumford & Sons, Edward Sharp, Nikki and the Dove from Sweden, Slow Dance from Brooklyn, Zola Jesus I haven't seen yet. And then basically those were like the big 10 that I had on my list from day one when I was starting to make my schedule. And then like a few days before the festival, I listened to like 600 or watched 600 videos on YouTube of all the showcasing artists of just random bands. And there was basically my next 10 that I had missed, because I put up 20 artists that I missed there were kind of the next 10. So I can run through them, but if there's any that you want to really talk about, yeah, you got the list. Just check it out on the website.
So I noticed the Shins are on there.
Yeah,
they're pretty popular, I think. So
yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I like to stay at one place.
it's definitely a good idea sometimes to just stay at one place, because by the time you get to the show, you're gonna miss half their set anyway, and
yeah,
it's nice to be around, but
yeah, usually there's the day show and the night show, and usually I'll go to two venues at, you know, sometime more than that if there's something really amazing happening, but it's hard because when you get into a venue late, it's really tough to make it up in front, and also like you said, you might already miss half the band already, because they only play a very short 30 to 40 minute set. And then it's on to another band. So
for all the fans out there, Bo has experience, by the way. He lived a very intense schedule just like I did this year. Bo, I think, interviewed, 10 bands a couple years back and saw just as many bands as I did. I saw, 45 full sets this year. But it was the most intense South By ever, and I didn't even interview a band this year. I usually interview, 3 a year. But 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., 5 nights in a row. It was out of control. I mean, I'm still recovering.
Yeah, I got really tired on the next to the last day, because it got to a point where your body can't.
I basically felt like death. it was definitely the best South By ever. There hasn't been a festival where there's been Keen, Kaiser Chiefs, Sabian all at one festival. I mean, that's just crazy.
In a pub gray room, one afternoon, what you gonna do? I hang on your words, but there's nothing new. You take a beautiful thing, pull off a wing, a safety pin, that never shine quite as bright again. But you haven't told me.
So this brings me up to the question is, if a lot of these showcases are free, how do you think they make any money, really? Because it's just exposure, right? It's just all about promotion. And I know a lot of UK bands come in just for peer promotion, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was funny because one night that what they try to do to avoid that from happening and kind of get people to kind of be stuck, they'll all of a sudden randomly at venues will be badges only when they let for a half an hour, people pay a $10 cover just right when it starts getting full. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what they do, is they're not going to avoid, you know, unless they just go, what they have to do is say no, absolutely no cash covers at all the shows. That's what they're going to have to do. If they want to force people to buy a badge and a wristband, that's what they have to do.
Oh, I know, but there's so many shows though that.
Yeah. And to me, it's going to be impossible, because there'll be all the local dive bars that just want people to come see them, that people will just see all the bands they want to see during the day. And then at night, they'll just be like, screw it. I'll just go to the Red Bull parties and go hang out and drink with my friends and, you know, whatever. I already saw the band during the day. So even if they did that, I still think you know, it wouldn't surge their numbers up. It would help. It would get more people to potentially buy a badge, but it would hurt their overall numbers. So to me, I think it would be a stupid marketing idea.
Yeah, there's no way they can get away with that. Just because, and I think, like I said, I think the main reason why bands come to South by Southwest is for the exposure, because there's a lot of people there. And there's a lot of bands there. And so the ratio is just good for a band to just break out at South by Southwest. I know that Policia like did amazing numbers just by being on the NPR showcase. Exposed them to a bunch of new fans. I guess from my perspective is I actually saw some of the live webcasts that happened down there.
Where'd you see him?
I saw a couple of Waterloo one, and then I saw the Hype Hotel street.
Hotel, okay.
You know, I have to say it's very professional. Have you've seen live streams before, or?
I saw a couple of the Rolling Stones ones.
Okay, they're really professional. They have multiple cameras. They have a director that switch cameras, and it's just, and the live stream actually is pretty good. I mean, it's not like, you're not watching like broadcast, but you're watching, it's pretty good for what it is. I'm watching the same show as you guys are watching, except, you know, in the comfort of my couch. You know, it's really nice. And I think I may do that with Coachella coming up, if that's...
Coachella, yeah, I think
April.
That's coming up. Yeah, I think that's in a month.
Yeah, because they do live streams, right?
Coachella and Bonnaroo and Lollapalooza. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, you know what? Instead of fighting the crowd, I'll just watch it. No, I like that. It's really, really nice. Like I said, I was really impressed with just the Waterloo one. The Hype Hotel had a great visuals, too.
Everybody, just a reminder for all you music fans out there, South by Southwest is the best music festival in the world, FYI, but never buy a wristband or a badge. Like I said, you'll spend $40 on cover charges for 4 nights. All the day parties are free beer, free food. Basically, the time of your life, you're in heaven for 4 days. I wish there was a South by Southwest every month. I'm going to email the South by Southwest committee and see if there's any way they can do a South by Southwest fall and spring version. So hopefully that'll happen, but we'll see. I'm just going to run down my top 10 performances. And if you have any questions or comments, please leave them on weheartmusic.com. Number one performance, Django Django from England at Flat Top. Number two, Michael Kiwanuka at St. David's Church. Number three, Free Energy at ND. Number four, John Quill from England, at Flat Top. Number five, Lee Mayfield and the Expressions, basically James Brown, but love the guy to death. Number six, Kaiser Chiefs at Cedar Street. Seven, Pomegranates at Beauty Bar. Eight, Fan Farlow at Club DeVille. Nine, We Were Promised Jetpacks at Red 7. And number 10, Blood Orange. Sydney Wazer would have made the top 10, but didn't see a full set. If I would have saw her showcase and show, I would have threw her on too. She's got a new record called Bell Choir Coast coming out in the next week. So check her out.
Yeah, any songs you want to end the show with? But any really one song that you think really highlight the festival?
Django Default. That's a track though that everyone needs to hear. They're playing a couple shows with Hot Chip, so they're getting bigger.
just lit the fire, and now you wanna put it out. You gave it all you got, and what you got is not a lot. Why don't you hand it over? Time is up, you've had your shot. Get it once again. Disasters in the end, it's like a default. You thought you'd made the grade, all you made will start to fade. We threw it in the fire, it's better that it not be made. You just brought it together, didn't seem to have the lock. Wheels are coming off now, knew that it would fall apart. Take one for the team, you're a cog in the machine, it's like a default. It's like a default. You missed the starting gun for everything you've ever done. You took part in the race, but disappeared without a trace. You thought you'd set the bar, I never tried to work it out. We just lit the fire, and now you wanna put it out. Forget about the cause, press rewind and stop and pause. It's like a default.
Hey, can I ask you about Carson Daly? How'd you run into him?
He was a cool guy. What he did at the festival, he had five bands play his party, and all of them are playing his show this week. It was Tennis, Cults, Lee Mayfield and the Expressions, and then two or three other bands that I forgot.
He's not with the MTV anymore, right? So what's he doing? Or
no, he has his own Late Show.
Oh, he does? Oh.
Late Show with Carson Daly. Yeah, he's been on for years.
That's right. Sorry, I totally forgot about that. So is this a new thing, or has he always done South by Southwest?
I think this is a new thing. Yeah, he's taken over. He's kind of like he is the cool party, because all his bands were all legit and super cool guy. I think he's going to be like the new Perez Hilton, because Perez Hilton used to be kind of the cool party everyone talked about, and it's a shit now. They had bad bands play this year, and they made people pay like $25 just to come to the party. It was just retarded.
No, I yeah.
They still have the Red Bull parties, and they still have the Fader Fort this year, and South by was still cool in kind of their traditions, but Perez Hilton parties are just Carson Daly's kind of taken over as the cool party now, I'd say.
Yeah, I know that Perez Hilton has. I think he organized a tour a few years ago, and
right.
And the headliner was you know the girl that's saying I like you better when you're naked.
Oh, Ida Maria.
If you take me home, come on, take me home. I won't mind. If you take off all your clothes, come on, take them off. Cause I like you so much better when you're naked. I like me so much better when you're naked. I like you so much better when you're naked. I like me so much better when you're naked. I like you so much better when you're naked. I like me so much better when you're naked.
So can I mention the pomegranates? I have a pretty poor memory, but that's why I do the music. I write about everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them 1, 2, 3, 4 times.
Love it. They must be a good band if Bo's seen them 4 times.
You know what it is? Is they keep opening up for other bands. And every time I go, I'm like, oh, they're playing? Oh, great.
Man, to see their new songs, though. Isaac singing more, and they're freaking jamming, man. You got to see them.
Yeah, I think I might have a video of you doing the drum solo, right?
Playing tambourine.
Tambourine for them.
I was tambourine man for a night.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot of that, because I went to see a show at South by Southwest, and the guy couldn't get his instrument to play right, or like they had some soundboard, and he just walked off the stage like, okay, what am I going to do for the next 45 minutes? So you get a lot of that. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's nice talking to you about South by Southwest. Hopefully we'll see you there next year again.
South by Southwest, 2013.